بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening we return to our discussion concerning explanation of the 50 hadith, the 40 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawawi and those additional hadith added by Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, يعني the book entitled Fath Al-Qawi Al-Mateen Fi Sharh Al-Arba'in Wa Tatimat Al-Khamseen, the commentary of our Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr Hafidhullah. The hadith that we're going to discuss tonight is hadith number 26. Hadith number 26. And this hadith is beginning on page 90. On page 90 and page 91. So, the Shaykh in his explanation of this hadith, as we mentioned numerous times in the past, and he's divided the explanation of the hadith into points. In this hadith he has 3 points. The third point being the benefits derived from the hadith. And tonight, because the explanation is relatively brief, we'll try to look at some other points that came from some of the other explanations of 40 hadith by other scholars. So, the hadith for tonight, hadith number 26, is the hadith عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كل سلام من الناس عليه صدقة كل يوم تطلع فيه الشمس. يعني أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه, he said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said كل سلامة, يعني every joint or every bone or member of the body of people, of human beings, عليهِ صدقةٌ, is required in compensation for it a صدقة كل يوم تطلع فيه الشمس, يعني every day in which the sun rises, يعني every single day in which the sun rises, every single bone or joint in the body of the human being requires a sadaqah as a compensation for it, yani as a ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, yani mentioning examples of the things that a person can do in order to fulfill this obligation of sadaqah. Ta'adilu bayna ithnaini sadaqah, yani that you judge between two people justly, with justice, is a sadaqah. وَتُعِينُ الرَّجُلَ فِي دَابَتِهِ فَتَحْمِلُهُ عَلَيْهَا أَوْ تَرْفَعُ لَهُ عَلَيْهَا مَتَاعَهُ صَدَقَةٌ. And that you aid or assist or help a person with his mount, his riding animal, by lifting him upon it, or by raising up upon it for him his baggage or belongings, this is also a sadaqah. والكلمة الطيبة صدقة. And likewise, a good word is a صدقة. وبكل خطوة وخطوة تمشيها إلى الصلاة صدقة. And every step that you take in going to the salat is a صدقة. وتميت الأذى عن الطريق صدقة. And also to remove something harmful from the road is a sadaqah. Rawahu al-Bukhari wa Muslim. And this hadith is reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim. The Shaykh, again, as we mentioned, has summarized this hadith into 3 points. The third point being the benefits derived from it. So in the first point, he talks about the hadith in general. And in the second point, he mentions the things, the examples that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned as means or ways of fulfilling the obligation of sadaqah upon the joints or the bones of the body. So the first part, yani the Shaykh mentions the general meaning of the hadith, and the second part he mentions 5 examples that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam yani mentioned as means through which a person can fulfill the daily obligation of sadaqah upon every joint or bone in one's body. The Shaykh says, his saying, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كُلُّ سُلَامَ مِنَ النَّاسِ عَلَيْهِ صَدَقَةٌ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ تَطْلُعُ فِيهِ الشَّمْسِ. Yani that every sulama from the people requires a sadaqa every day in which the sun rises. The Shaykh explains, السُلَامَ means المفاصل. المفاصل. وَهِيَ سِتُّونَ وَثَلَاثُمِيَةٍ. And the mafasil, or the sulama, they are 360 of them. جَاءَ تَفْسِيرُهَا بِذَلِكَ فِي صَحِي مُسْلِمْ مِنْ حَدِيثَ عَيْشَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا. And this explanation or clarification of the number of the joints or the bones in the body, this explanation, as there being 360, is mentioned is reported by Al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, hadith number 1007. Before we go any further, the Shaykh, he says here simply, As-Sulama, it means Al-Mafasil. And some of the scholars have, and he mentioned further details concerning this particular word, and which is from the core meanings of this hadith, As-Sulama. Al-Imam Ibn Daqiq Al-Eid, he says, Sulama, this word, and he tells us the spelling of it, that the seen has Dhamma, and that the lamb does not have Shadda, so that the person can pronounce the words correctly. It's Sulama, not Sul with yani with Shadda on the lamb. Sulama. He says that this word, here al-mafasil wal-a'adha. Yani that the word Sulama, it means al-mafasil wal-a'adha. It means the joints of the body, and it also means the members of the body, or like organs of the body, or limbs of the body. He says, يعني سلامة وهي المفاصل والأعضاء. وقد ثبت في صحيح مسلم أنها 360. And it has been confirmed in the Sahih of Muslim, as the Shaykh mentioned, that there are 360 of them. Then he says, وقال القاضي عياد rahimahullah, that Qadi, Al-Qadi Iyad, says concerning this word Sulama, وَأَصْلُهُ إِظَامُ الْكَفِّ وَالْأَصَابِ وَالْأَرْجُ. Yani that the original meaning of Sulama, it refers to the bones in the wrist, and in the fingers, and in the toes. ثُمَّ اسْتُعْمِلَ فِي سَائِرْ إِظَامِ الْجَسَدْ وَمُفَاصِلِهِ. Then later on it was used to refer to the remaining bones of the body and the joints of the body. So here, in this explanation of the word Sulama, we see that it is defined as being al-mafasil, and it's defined as being al-a'adha, and it's also defined as being idham. So that the word Sulama, it may mean the joints of the body, the bones of the body, and the members or limbs of the body, according to yani various scholars. Yani originally it referred to the bones that are in the yani in the hand, and it referred to the fingers and the toes, but later on it became yani used to refer to the rest of the bones of the body and the joints of the body. So, after this, the Shaykh talks about the meaning of this hadith in this same first point after discussing the word Sulama. He says, وَالْمَعْنَى, the meaning of this particular hadith, أَنَّ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ تَطْلُعُ فِيهِ الشَّمْسِ فَعَلَى جَمِيعِ تِلْكَ السُّلَامَ صَدَقَةٌ فِي ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ. Yani that the meaning here is that every day in which the sun rises, then all of the joints or the bones of the body require a sadaqa on their behalf for that particular day, yani every day in which the sun rises. ثم ذكر بعد ذلك أمثلة مما تحصل به الصدقة. After mentioning this, the Prophet ﷺ, after mentioning this statement, that every day that the sun rises, that each joint or bone in the body requires a sadaqah on its behalf. After mentioning that, he mentioned some examples of things that a person can do as a sadaqah to fulfill that obligation. And in this hadith, he mentioned 5 examples. And in other hadith, he mentioned other examples, some of the same and others besides them. In the previous hadith, hadith number 25, we mentioned, if we remember the hadith, it was a long time ago, right? We mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ said that kullu tasbih sadaqah. Yani every acknowledgement, statement of tasbih, that Allah is free of imperfection, saying subhanallah, every takbir, every tahmid, every tahleel, every enjoying the good and forbidding the wrong, and even a person having sexual relations with their spouse is a sadaqah. So we can see from this that there are many types of sadaqah. In this hadith, the Shaykh mentioned 5. 5 different things as examples of means through which a person can fulfill the obligation that's due every single day on every bone or joint in their body. So the Shaykh says here, yani then he mentioned examples by means of which a person may, yani, achieve, yani, the fulfillment of this sadaqah. And he explains here that the types of actions that a person may do as a sadaqah to fulfill this obligation may be looked at from 2 different angles. That they may be looked at from the angle of being fi'liya wa qawliya. Yani that they are these actions that may serve as a sadaqah, they are fi'liya and they are qawliya. Some of them are actions that a person does, and some of them are speech, sayings that a person says. And from another angle, they are qasira and they are mutaaddiya. They are qasira and mutaaddiya. So from another angle, these acts or these means of sadaqah, they may be something that a person does that's qasira, limited to himself. Yani the benefit remains with the person who does it. Or they may be mutaaddiya, that is, the benefit of that yani action will extend to others. So the Shaykh here is saying that these different types of sadaqah, they are from yani either they are speech or action, or they are yani those acts of worship that are limited to the person who does them, the benefit, or extends to others. Then he says, it came in the Sahih of Muslim from the hadith of Abi Dharr radiallahu anhu, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يُجْزِئُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ رَكَعَتَانْ يَرْكَعُهُمَا مِنَ الدُّحَى. That what will suffice a person from that obligation of the sadaqah, the daily sadaqah on every bone or joint in the body, what will suffice a person for all of that is that they perform 2 rak'ah at the time of duha. This hadith is mentioned by some of the scholars in the explanation of the hadith in detail. Al-Imam Ibn Daqiq Al-Eid, he mentions this hadith. He says that every joint or bone in the body, every day, every joint of every one of you is requiring a sadaqah. And in this narration of the hadith, he mentions that kullu tasbihah is a sadaqah. Every time a person says subhanallah, that's a sadaqah. وَكُلُّ تَحْمِيدَ صَدَقَةٌ. And every time a person says Alhamdulillah, that's a sadaqah. وَكُلُّ تَحْلِيلَ صَدَقَةٌ. And every time a person says La ilaha illallah, that's a sadaqah. وَكُلُّ تَكْبِيرَ صَدَقَةٌ. And every time a person says Allahu Akbar, that's a sadaqah. وَأَمْرٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ is a sadaqah. وَنَهْي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ is a sadaqah. Enjoying the good is sadaqah, and forbidding the evil is sadaqah. And then in the end of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says that what would suffice a person from all of that is that they perform 2 rak'ah at the time of duha. And Al-Imam Ibn Daqiq Al-Eid rahimahullah, he says, yani what is meant by that? Yani, he said, what is meant by that? يكفي من هذه الصدقات عن هذه الأعضاء ركعتان. That what would suffice a person for all of these required sadaqah every day on every joint or bone in the body is that a person performs 2 rak'ah. And he explains that the reason for this, فَإِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ عَمَلٌ لِجَمِيعَ أَعْضَاءِ الْجَسَدِ. That salat is an action that involves all of the parts of the body. فَإِذَا صَلَّ فَقَدْ قَامَ كُلُّ عَضْوٍ بِوَظِيفَتِهِ. So if a person performs salah, then every member of the body has fulfilled its يعني responsibility or its occupation or what it is supposed to be doing. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. نعم. So after this, the Shaykh, he mentioned that hadith in brief, just the end part of it, that what is sufficient for all of these required sadaqah is that a person perform two rak'ah at the time of duha. And then Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, Hafizahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he explains the same thing, that the reason why these two rak'ah is sufficient for the sadaqah that's required of a person in the entire day, ذَلِكَ أَنَّ الصَّلَاةِ صَلَاةَ حَاتَيْنِ الرَّكَعَتَيْنِ يَحْصُلْ بِهِمَا تحرك المفاصل في هذه العبادة وهي الصلاة فتكون مجزئة عن الصدقات في هذا اليوم. So he said that the reason why these two rak'ah at the time of duha would be sufficient for the required يعني charities, 360 charities that's required on every member of the body or every bone or every joint in the body, the reason why this would be sufficient is because the performance of these two rak'ah through them يعني يحصل بهما تحرك المفاصل. All of the joints of the body, you know, are engaged in movement, meaning all of the joints of the body participate in the performance of prayer, in this act of worship, prayer, and therefore يعني those two rak'ah became sufficient. They suffice a person from all of the sadaqat that is required of them for that entire day. The second point, and before we go into the second point, I just want to mention any brief comment concerning the first part of this explanation of the Shaykh, where he talks about the meaning of this hadith. Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, says the meaning of this hadith is that every single day, the joints or the bones of the body of a person are required, yani, to require a sadaqah. He says that this is so that a person will fulfill the obligation of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ni'mah of their health and well-being. Yani, every day that a person's body is working and they are walking and talking and moving and doing whatever they're doing, then this is a ni'mah from Allah. And to express the gratitude for this ni'mah, a person has to يعني do these acts of charity for every part of the body that they are enjoying its functioning. Shaykh says that, however, this sadaqah is not limited to money alone, rather it is various types of sadaqat. And then يعني he mentions the five examples that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave in this hadith. So here, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, Hafizahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he mentions very, very briefly these five examples which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned in this hadith, and then he goes on to mention the benefits of the hadith. So he says, and this is an important point, he says, point number two, كُلُّ قُرْبَ يَأْتِ بِهَا الْإِنسَانِ سَوَاءً كَانَتْ قَوْلِيَّةً أَوْ فِعْلِيَّةً فَهِيَ صَدَقَةً. Yani every act that a person does as a means of seeking nearness to Allah, no matter if it is speech, qawliya, or if it is an action, fi'liya, all of it is sadaqah. Every act that a person does as a means of nearness to Allah is a sadaqah. وَمَا ذَكْرَهُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ هُوَ مِنْ قَبِيلِ التَّمْثِيلِ لَا الْحَصَرِ. So what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned in this hadith, yani, he's only mentioning these things as an example of the types of charity that a person may do. It's not intended that these are the only things that a person may do as a means of sadaqah to fulfill the obligation that is upon the human being every single day. Yani, this is not meant to mention every type of act or speech that will be a sadaqah. Rather, these are just examples. And then the Shaykh begins to mention yani these five examples that came in the hadith, and he mentions with each one of them how it fits into the categories that he mentioned earlier. Is it qawliya or fi'liya? Yani, is it speech or is it action? These five things that the Prophet mentioned, does it come under the category of speech or does it come under the category of action? does it come under the category of that which is qasira, yani limited to oneself, the benefit, or is it mutaaddiya, yani that which extends to others? So he mentions for each example that's in this hadith, if it is qawliya, if it is fi'liya, if it is qasira, if it is mutaaddiya. And this is very important because it makes us yani to look more carefully at how yani these yani how the scholars looked at the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, we might look at this hadith and see, okay, there are five things mentioned here, and we're not paying attention to, are they speech or are they action? But whether it is speech or action, it is all sadaqah. We're not paying attention to the fact of whether or not this thing that a person does is limited, its benefit is limited to their self alone, or is it yani benefiting others? We're just looking at, these are five examples. The Shaykh here has mentioned and shown us that each one of these examples come under one of these categories. It's either speech or action, it's either yani limited to oneself or extending to others. So the first one he mentions, he says, فَالْعَدْلُ بَيْنَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ يَكُونُ فِي الْحُكْمِ أَوْ الصُّلْحِ بَيْنَ الْمُتَنَازِعِينَ بِالْعَدْلِ. Yani justice, yani doing justice between two people, it may be in a ruling that a person makes, a ruling, a hukm between them, a ruling, or it may be a sulh, yani reconciling between them, yani bringing them to agreement upon something that they may have disputed about. And Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, perhaps we'll not be able to mention tonight, but he mentions that the difference between the hukm and the sulh is that the hukm, the judge has the ability to force the one who the judgment is made against to do what is required. Whereas in a sulh, yani nobody can be forced to make an agreement. Yani people agree, they make the agreement if they want to. But as far as the hukm, when the judge makes a ruling, the judge has the power and the authority to force whichever party the ruling is made against to fulfill it. So here, yani the Shaykh is saying that doing justice between two people, it may be in a ruling, a hukm, or it may be in yani an agreement, reconciliation between two people that have a dispute, it should be done with justice. وَهُوَ قَوْلِيٌ مُتَعَدٍ. Yani this particular first example, doing justice, making a just ruling between people, or a just agreement between people, this is comes under the category of speech, قَوْلِي, that is extending to others, مُتَعَدٍ. Yani speech, a person says something, and that speech yani extends to others. It's not something that's limited to oneself, and this is a sadaqah, that a person rules or judges or yani reconciles between two people who have a dispute justly, that he rules or he judges between them justly. The second example that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in this hadith, وَإِعَانَةُ الرَّجُلُ فِي حَمْلِهِ عَلَى دَابَتِهِ أو حمل متاعه عليها هو فعلي متعد. That helping or assisting a person in lifting him upon his yani mount, his riding animal or his vehicle, or helping to lift up his belongings, his baggage, to his mount or his vehicle, this is a charity that comes under the category of فِعَلِيٌ مُتَعَدٍ. Yani it's an action and it extends to others. So these first two examples that came in the hadith are both مُتَعَدٍ. Both of them are things that a person does that the benefit of it extends to others, though the first one is a speech and the second one is an action. Yani the first one is speech. It's a ruling that a person makes, or judgment that a person makes, or reconciliation, that a person reconciles between two people, and the benefit of it extends to others. And the second one is an action, that is helping a person, assisting someone who is in need of help, whatever it might be. Here the Prophet ﷺ said, helping a person upon their mount, or helping to lift up their belongings on their mount. But the point is here, the core meaning of what is intended here is helping someone else, helping a person who's in need of help. And this is fi'li muta'addin. Then the third one, he says, قَوْلُ الْكَلِمَةَ الطَّيِّبَةَ يَدْخُلُ تَحْتَهُ كُلُّ كَلَامٍ طَيِّبٍ مِنْ الذِّكْرِ وَالدُّعَاءِ وَالْقِرَاءَةِ وَالتَّعْلِيمِ وَالْعَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيِ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ. that saying a good word, and included in this kalima tayyiba, included in it, is every good, pure, wholesome speech. Whether it is dhikr, remembrance of Allah, or it is dua, supplicating, calling upon Allah, or it is al-qira'ah, recitation of the Qur'an, or ta'aleem, teaching, or enjoining the good or forbidding the wrong, or other than that, or other than that. Every, yani kalam, every speech that is tayyib, comes under this third example that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave in this hadith. Yani he said, وَالْكَلِمَةُ وَالْطَيِّبَةُ صَدَقَةً. Here the Shaykh says, وَهُوَ قَوْلِيٌّ قَاصِرٌ وَمُتَعَدٍ. Yani that this kalima tayyiba is speech that may be either qasir or may be mutaaddin. Yani meaning that there's some types of speech that come under kalima tayyiba that's qasir, that only benefits the person who's saying it. And then there's other type of speech that comes under a kalima tayyiba that is mutaaddin, that extends to others. And if we look at the examples that the Shaykh mentioned here, and there are many others that could be mentioned, the Shaykh mentions, for example, from kalima tayyiba is a dhikr. So when a person is engaged in the remembrance of Allah, this is qawli, yani it is speech, and it is qasir, yani it benefits theirself. Whereas, yani, a ta'aleem, teaching, it is speech that benefits others. Whereas a dua, yani it is speech, depending on who the person is supplicating for, it may benefit themselves or it may benefit others. It could go both ways. And al-amr bil ma'ruf is benefiting others. And likewise, da'wah ila Allah, and so on. The Shaykh says, so here, this kalima tayyiba, it is qawli, qasir, wa muta'addin. It is speech that it may be limited to oneself, its benefit, or it may extend to others. The fourth example that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave in this hadith, the Shaykh says, wa kullu khutwatin يمشيها المسلم إلى الصلاة صدقة من المسلم على نفسه وهو فعلي قاصر. يعني that every step that a person takes, that a Muslim takes in walking to the salat, is a sadaqa from the Muslim for his own self, for his own self. So clearly this is يعني a sadaqa that is فعلي قاصر. يعني it's an action, the benefit of it is limited to the person, to oneself. And finally, the Shaykh mentions the fifth example, imatatul adha an tariq, yani that a person removes something harmful from the road, whether it is shawqin, or hajarin, or zujajin, or ghayru dhalika. Yani it could be a thorn that's in the road, or stone, or glass, or other than that. وَهُوَ فِعْلِيٌ مُتَعَدٍ. And this one is an action that extends to others. Yani a person removes something from the road, and every person who passed by that would have been harmed by it benefits from it. Benefits from it. Any one action of removing something harmful from the road, and how many people pass by after that that benefit from that being removed from the road? And that is why, yani, it is, yani, that this is an action that is of great importance and great value, loved by Allah and rewarded tremendously. Removing something harmful from the road. So these are the five examples that the Shaykh gave here, that the Shaykh explains here very, very briefly. And before we mention the fawaid that he mentions from this hadith, I want to just look quickly at a little bit of further detail concerning these 5 points as mentioned by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen. He says the first of them, doing justice between two people is a sabaqa. That is, if you find two people who are having a dispute, and you rule between them with justice, then this is a sadaqa, and it is from the best types of sadaqa, because of the saying of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 114th Ayat, لَا خَيْرَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِنْ نَجْوَاهُمْ إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ بِصَدَقَةٍ أَوْ مَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ إِصْلَاحٍ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. That there is no good in many of their secret gatherings, except the one who commands with sadaqah, or the one who commands with doing good, or the one who enjoins yani islah bayn al-nas, yani who tries to reconcile between people, yani to eliminate or to alleviate the disputes and arguments and problems between the people. The second point the Shaykh makes, he says, to help a person with his riding animal. So you lift him upon it, or you lift up his belongings upon it, this is a sadaqah. And this is also from the sadaqat, yani, that are means through which a person fulfills the obligation of sadaqah for every bone or every joint in their body. He said, it is to help your brother Muslim upon his mount, either by lifting him upon it, if he was himself unable to lift himself, or lifting his belongings upon it, yani his luggage or whatever he's carrying with him. And this, he said, وَهَذَا أَيْضًا لِأَنَّهَا إِحْسَانٌ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Yani, why is this a sadaqah? Because doing so is ihsan, and Allah loves the people of ihsan, the people who do good. The third point he mentions, الْكَلِمَةُ الطَّيِّبَةُ is a sadaqah. He said, كُلُّ كَلِمَةٍ تُقَرِّبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ كَالتَّصْبِيحِ وَالتَّحْلِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ والعمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر وقراءة القرآن وتعليم العلم وغير ذلك كل كلمة طيبة فهي صدقة. يعني every word through which a person seeks nearness to Allah, whether it is saying Subhanallah or La ilaha illallah or Allahu Akbar or Alhamdulillah or enjoining the good or forbidding the wrong or reciting the Quran or teaching knowledge or other than that, every good word is sadaqah. And these are a few of the many examples of kalima tayyiba. The fourth thing that the Shaykh mentions is concerning the fourth example the Prophet ﷺ gave in this hadith, that every step that a person takes towards the salat is a sadaqah. And he said it has been confirmed in the two sahihs in Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, أن الإنسان إذا توضى في بيته وأصبغ الوضوء ثم خرج من بيته إلى المسجد لا يخرجه إلا الصلاة لا يخطو خطوة إلا رفع الله له بها درجة وحط بها خطية وحط عنه بها خطية. يعني that the human being, if he performs wudu in his home and he performs that wudu well, and then he leaves his house to go to the masjid, and nothing has caused him to leave his house except the salat. He didn't go out for the salat and some other stuff. He went out. The only thing that caused him to leave the house is to go to the masjid for the salat. He said every step that this person takes, due to it, Allah will raise him up a degree and remove from him a sin. And this is also a tremendous thing. Any kalima tayyiba and these steps that a person takes to the masjid is from the easiest things that a person can do for charity. And it's easy for a person to say Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, all the time, continuously. It's easy for a person to do it. It's easy for a person to walk to the masjid and walk back. Yani, unless you live far away from a masjid. Right? But the walking, every step that a person takes to the masjid, yani, is recorded as a sadaqah. If they left their house, yani, purely, sincerely for the sake of going to the masjid to perform the prayer. The last thing that the fifth example that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in this hadith is removing something harmful from the road is a sadaqah. The Shaykh says removing something harmful, meaning removing something that's in the road that would harm people, and that means anything that would harm the people that are passing by, whether it is water, whether it is a stone, whether it is glass or a thorn or other than that, no matter. If it is something that would harm them from the ground or that which would harm them from above. For example, if a branch from a tree was hanging low and it would harm people, then this is also included in removing something harmful from the road, and this is a sadaqah. Now, after this, the last point that Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, the last point that he mentions is the benefits derived from this hadith. And these benefits that he derived from the hadith, The first point is the general meaning of the hadith, and the other points are the five, and are related to the five examples in this hadith. So if a person wants to remember what are the benefits from this hadith, they can easily remember them if they remember the five examples that the Prophet ﷺ gave in this hadith, in addition to the general meaning of the hadith that the Shaykh mentions in the beginning. So the first point that he mentions from the benefits of this hadith, number one, أَنَّ عَلَى كُلِّ سُلَامَ مِنَ الْإِنسَانِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ صَدَقَةً سَوَاءً كَانَتْ قَاصِرَةً أَوْ مُتَعَدِّيَةً. يعني that every joint or bone in the body of the human being requires a sadaqah on its behalf, no matter whether it is a sadaqah that is qasira, that doesn't benefit anybody else, but it benefits the person who does it. Or if it is a sadaqah that's mutaaddiya, that extends beyond the person and benefits others. Na'am. The second point is related to the first example that the Prophet ﷺ gave in this hadith, encouragement to make reconciliation between disputing parties, to reconcile between them with justice. And Shaykh Saleh Fawzan says concerning this, that the person who does this should treat both parties equally, because both of them are your brothers. And he shouldn't incline towards one and do injustice to the other, but he must rule between them. He must reconcile between them with justice, treating them equally. The third benefit from this hadith is encouragement of the Muslim to help others with that which they are in need of, like helping a person upon their mount, or helping lifting for them their baggage or their luggage to their riding animal or their automobile or their car or their means of transportation. The Shaykh, the way he explains it here, he makes it more general than it's mentioned in the hadith, because the hadith is an example, helping a person get on their means of transportation or helping them with their luggage. But the Shaykh said that the benefit from this hadith is that in this hadith is an encouragement for the Muslim to help others with whatever it is that they are in need of help with. Now, and then he said, like helping a person onto their riding animal, or helping them with their belongings. The fourth benefit from this hadith, he said, التَّرْغِيب فِي كُلِّ كَلَامٍ طَيِّب, encouragement for a person to engage in every type of speech that is tayyib, whether it is dhikr, remembrance of Allah, or qira'a, recitation of the Quran, or ta'aleem, teaching, knowledge, or da'wah, calling to Allah, or other than that. Encouragement that a person engage, involve yourself constantly in good speech, whatever type of good speech it may be. The fifth point, the Shaykh mentions the merit or the virtue, fadlu al-mashi ila al-masajid. The merit or the virtue or the excellence of walking to the masjids. And of course included in this is riding to the masjid if a person has to ride. Going to the masjid for prayer, but specifically walking to the masjid. That every step that a person takes, that they will be rewarded for it. Even though, there's no doubt, because of Allah's justice and His generosity, Allah will reward every person, even if they couldn't walk to the masjid, even if they had to ride, because the masjid was far, but the steps that a person takes specifically, is mentioned here. The excellence of walking to the masajid, and then the Shaykh says, it has come in another hadith, that the walking of a person, their going and their returning, is going to be recorded for them. And this is mentioned in a hadith that's reported by Al-Imam Muslim. He says, hadith number 663. And that meaning is contained in the hadith of Abu Huraira, in which he said that if a person performs wudu, and they perform it well, and then they leave their house to go to the masjid, not leaving for any reason except to pray, then every step that they would take, due to it, they will be raised up a degree with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a sin will be removed from them. The last point, point number six, benefits from this hadith, the fadl, the excellence or the virtue of removing something harmful from the road. And the Shaykh says it has also come in another hadith that yani removing something harmful from the road is min the, is from the shurb of iman, yani from the branches of iman. And the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that iman is 60 or 70 some odd branches, and from amongst what he mentioned is that removing something harmful from the road is a branch of iman. And we said yani in our discussion of Shajaratul Iman, the Shaykh mentioned that every act of worship, every act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every good deed that a person does is yani and is a part of iman. And so these actions that are mentioned in this hadith as sadaqah, they are all from the actions of iman. They're all a part of iman. There are some other points that have been collected from various books explaining the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi. And I want to mention some of those points here, even though a few of them may overlap with what we already mentioned from the benefits of this hadith. Some of them overlap and some of them extend yani what the Shaykh has mentioned in terms of the benefits of the hadith. And some of them have not been mentioned already. Some of them have not been mentioned. So the first one that he mentions from the benefits of this hadith is the arrangement of the bones in the human being, the way that they are organized, arranged, and their well-being is from the greatest of the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon a human being. And the fact that Allah has arranged the bones and the joints and the parts of the body the way He has arranged them is from a'zam ni'mah Allah ta'ala alayhi. It's from the greatest of the favors or bounties or blessings of Allah upon a human being. Here, anyone should consider that the joints or the bones or the members of the body that a person uses every day, hardly does a person think about them. And here the Shaykh is saying what? That this is from amongst the greatest of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for that reason, because it's a great ni'mah of Allah, yani fayahtaj kullu, yani every one of these bones or every one of these joints, each one requires a sadaqah specifically for it. And this is so that a person may complete and perfect their gratitude for that particular ni'mah. And here he says that هذه الصدقة واجبة, yani this sadaqah is obligatory, and that is understood from the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, alayhi sadaqatun. Yani the what is understood from the expression alayhi sadaqatun, he said, is al-wujub. And some scholars said that the meaning here is not that this sadaqah is wajib, so there's some difference of opinion about this. But in any case, yani here he is saying that the wording here, yani alayhi sadaqah, indicates al-wujub, that this sadaqah is obligatory. And that what suffices a person for these 360 charities that is due every day that the sun rises is 2 rak'ah that's performed at the time of Salatul Duha, as mentioned in the hadith that we previously mentioned, the hadith of Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, reported by Al-Imam Muslim, yani as we mentioned previously. The Shaykh, he says here, فَإِذَا So if a person performs these 2 rak'ah at the time of Salatul Duha, then this will replace or take the place of or substitute for all of the sadaqat that a person is required to do that day, yani 360 charities. وَعَلَى هَذَا تَسُنُّ الْمُدَاوَمَ عَلَى رَكَعَتَيْ الدُّحَى. And for this reason, it is sunnah that a person be constant and consistent in performing the 2 rak'ah of duha. Yani it should be something that a person does all the time, because this is what will suffice a person in the course of a day to fulfill the 360 charities that are obligatory upon them in compensation for the joints or the bones of their body that they are enjoying every day. Yani a person wouldn't be able to keep track of the sadaqah that they did in that day to be sure that they have completed the obligation of 360, whereas if a person performs 2 rak'ah, Salatul Duha, then that is sufficient for them. Also, he said that from the benefits of this hadith is that a person constantly yani be consistent in performing nawafil, yani voluntary acts every single day. That a person be consistent in doing that all the time. Then he says, from the benefits of this hadith is that as sadaqah la tanhasir fil mal. That sadaqah is not limited to wealth, to money, but rather sadaqah includes yani everything that a person does seeking means of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth point he says, yani which was mentioned previously, the merit or excellence of reconciling between people. The fifth point, the encouragement to attend the congregational prayers and walking to them. And walking to the congregational prayers. The sixth point, the encouragement to remove something harmful from the road. And he says, وَفِي مَعَنَاهُ, and the same meaning, yani of removing something harmful from, or what is included in that meaning, is expanding the roads that are narrow for the people who are walking on them. Yani, removing something harmful from the road is to facilitate the people who are using the roads. So he said, from this meaning, is expanding the narrow roads so that it's easy for the people who are walking upon them, and also prohibiting people from buying and selling in the middle of the general roads that are for people to walk upon or to travel upon. The next point that he mentions, that hasn't been mentioned before, أَنَّ قَلِيلَ الْخَيْرِ يَحْصُلُ بِهِ كَثِيرَ الْأَجْرِ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. That a little bit of khair, through it a person will achieve a lot of reward by the bounty and favor of Allah the Most High. And meaning that a little deed that a person does, Allah gives a person a great reward for it. A little deed that a person may do, Allah may give them a lot of reward out of His generosity and kindness. The next point he said is that cooperation, a ta'awun bayn al-mu'mineen, yuqawwi al-awasir baynahum. That when the believers, yani, cooperate and assist one another, this strengthens the bonds between them, the ties and the bonds of brotherhood. And that is like a person helping his brother to lift something that is heavy, or helping him to fix his mount or his car, or helping him to unload his luggage. Yani, these are things that cause the believers to be like one body, and to make them of those who will love one another. Then the Shaykh closes the final points that he mentions here, and these are points that were collected from various explanations of the 40 hadith. He said, encouragement to say a good word based on the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, that al-kalima tayyiba is sadaqah. Then he says, wallahi la atyabu min kalami Allahi azza wa jalla al-Quran. And there's nothing more tayyib. There's no speech that is more tayyib than the speech of Allah, the Quran. So when a person thinks about good words that they want to say, whether dhikr or dua or any whatever it might be, the best of good speech is the book of Allah, the speech of Allah, the Quran. He said that every single word in the Quran is sadaqah. And this kalima tayyiba takunu طيبة في أسلوبها وفي موضوعها وفي إلقائها. That كلمة طيبة is طيب from different angles. It's طيب in terms of its أسلوب, the style of the speech. And it's طيب concerning its موضوع, يعني the subject of what is being said. And it's طيب in its إلقاء, يعني the way it is delivered. So كلمة طيبة is not just a good word, but it's also the style of that speech and the manner in which it is spoken as well. And the last point that the Shaykh mentions is related to removing something harmful from the road. He said that removing something harmful from the road is a sadaqah. And by qiyas of the opposite, yani making qiyas by the opposite of something, he said, we say that wada al-adha fi al-tariq, yani putting something harmful in the road is a jarima. And is a crime. Yani, if removing something from harmful from the road is a sadaqah, then putting something harmful in the road is a crime. And he said, from this benefit, yani, that putting something harmful in the road is a crime, he said, from this also we may say that إِذَا كَانَ إِمَاطَةُ الْأَذَى عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ الْحِسِّي صَدَقَةً فَإِمَاطَةُ الْأَذَى عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ الْمَعْنَوِي أَبْلَغَ. Yani that if removing something harmful from the road, yani the physical road, is a sadaqah, then removing something harmful from the figurative road or path is even greater than that. Yani meaning the road, there's a physical road that you remove something harmful from, and then there are paths that people travel upon. And removing something from the figurative road, he said, is even greater than that. And that is, and this is done by clarifying innovations and clarifying evil deeds. And other than that, from despicable and lowly character, like yani people engaging in immorality like prostitution and homosexuality and drinking alcohol and smoking cigarettes, and other than that, the clarification of these things in such a way that people would not engage in them, this is also considered as a sadaqah that's greater than removing something physical from the physical road. I guess we'll stop with this. It's almost time for the adhan. How much time? It's time. It is time. So yeah. Naam. Naam, we'll stop here inshallah. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question or any, naam, fadl. I don't know who raised their hand first, and I don't know who's the oldest of you. Both of y'all look kind of old.
What is the best way to pray Salatul
Duha? The best way to pray? Meaning? The best way to pray Salatul Duha, Allahu A'lam, yani what's the best way? But certainly from amongst the best ways is that a person performs the Salatul Fajr in Jama'ah, in the masjid, and remains in the remembrance of Allah until sunrise, yani until 10 or 15 minutes after sunrise, and then performs 2 rak'ah, or 4 rak'ah, or even yani whatever yani Allah has decreed for them. Naam. I think that that's what's best, and that a person prays by themselves in the masjid after the sunrise. Naam. Naam? No? You add anything? Tayyib, Benjamin.
When you said that that the Quran was the best speech,
no,
and the best thing for the
good speech.
We've drawn a blank right now. It was what you could do to perform the charity.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is every word that you read one part of the 360, or
no?
Is it
no?
Just that one? Just
yeah. It seems as though the Sheikh is suggesting here that the best of good speech is the speech of Allah, the Quran. And then he says every word of it is a sadaqah. So he's trying to, it seems as though what he intends to say here is that he's making clear that it's not that you did a sadaqah by sitting for 10 or 15 minutes reciting the Quran, but every single word is a sadaqah. Rather, as it came in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, every letter is a hasana. So every letter will be counted as a sadaqah. Every letter will be counted, a person will be recorded with a hasana. And every hasana is multiplied by 10. So, yani, when a person recites the Quran, not only is every word, yani, a sadaqah, but rather every letter, they will get recorded, yani, as a good deed for them. And every letter will be multiplied by 10, or up to, yani, 700, or as much as Allah wills. So, the Quran, for sure, is one of the best ways for a person to fulfill, yani, the obligation of the sadaqah that's upon us every single day, by sitting and reciting the Quran at some point early in the day or in the evening or whatever time a person is not occupied or distracted with other things, and reading a few pages of Quran. And every word that a person recites, yani, they will be rewarded for it. Rather, every letter they will be rewarded for, and it will be multiplied as much as Allah wills. Naam.